want you just to get your imagination going for a minute here. Imagine for a minute you're in a car driving down Pandora Avenue in Victoria. And as you drive down Pandora Avenue, you pass our place. And you look and you see the homeless hanging out in front of our place. In that moment, what do you see? You're watching the news and you're sitting there and you're watching the protests of Black Lives Matter. In that moment, what do you see? You're driving through one of our First Nations lands out on the peninsula, and you're looking around, and as you look around, in that moment, what do you see? You're walking through your neighborhood, and you pass that one house, you know, that house that's unkept? The grass is long, there's weeds, it needs some paint. In that moment, what do you see? In your school, there's that one student. He doesn't quite fit in. He's a misfit, a little weird, a little annoying. And you go back to school in September, and you walk in, and he's in your class. In that moment, what do you see? Do you look at people through the eyes of a judge or the eyes of a doctor? In other words, do you look down on people with a critical spirit, or do you look at people and see hurts that God wants to heal? As we wrap up our series, Everyday People, today we're going to look at a misfit, a social outcast. Jillian is going to read our story for us.
Matthew 9, verses 9 to 13. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners."
Thanks, Jill. Let's go back to that first verse. Verse 9, it says this, "As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth." Jesus had just come out of the city of Capernaum, which was on the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee, and there he encountered Matthew, a tax collector. Now, tax collectors have never been popular in any society at any time, least of all during the time of Jesus. The Jewish people were under Roman rule, and the Romans taxed virtually everything. There was a poll tax. Every male age 14 to 65 and every female age 12 to 65 had to pay the poll tax. And the poll tax was a tax simply for the privilege of living and breathing Roman air. There was a ground tax, which was placed a tariff on crop owners. You also taxed according to your occupation. If you were a fisherman, guess what? There was a fish tax. If you transported goods, there was a cart tax. There were levies on roads, bridges, harbors, and imports. And on top of this, every citizen paid a flat 10% income tax. That's a lot of taxes. And the taxes were collected by local tax collectors, who were local people who had won the bid from the Roman government to be the village tax collector. And they made their money from overtaxing the people. They would demand more taxes from the villagers than was due the government, and then they'd pocket the extra. And you have to comply, because if you refuse to pay, the military would be on the side of the tax collector. So you can imagine, tax collectors were not very popular. In fact, they were viewed as greedy, dishonest sellouts. They were viewed as traitors. They were outcasts who were hated. They were thought of actually as the lowest form of humanity. And so here was Matthew, a tax collector, in his booth collecting taxes. When Jesus wandered by and gave him an invitation, in verse 9 it says this, "Follow me," Jesus told him. Do you see what just happened there? Jesus picked the tax collector to be one of his disciples. One of the 12 who would journey with him, who would eat with him, who would become one of his closest friends, was going to be a tax collector. People's jaws would have absolutely dropped. A rabbi just asked a tax collector to follow him. And look at Matthew's response. Matthew got up and followed him. Jesus invited a tax collector, the lowest form of humanity, to follow him, and the tax collector said yes. Do you know today Jesus is still inviting people to follow him? Jesus is inviting you to follow him. And you may say, I don't measure up. I'm not good enough. Jesus doesn't know all the junk in my past. Jesus doesn't want me to follow him. Listen, if you want to be a follower of Jesus, there's only really one prerequisite. You've got to be flawed. You have to be flawed. Every one of those 12 men that Jesus asked to follow him were deeply flawed in so many ways. And yet, as they followed Jesus, Jesus transformed them and used them to change the world. And he wants to do that in your life. He wants to take flawed you, and he wants you to encounter him. He wants you to follow him. And then he wants to transform you and use you in ways you don't even know now. Just like Jesus invited that tax collector to follow him, Jesus is still inviting people today to follow him. And Matthew decided to follow Jesus, and then I like this. Matthew threw a party. Look at verse 10. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. Verse 10 in the New Living Translation says this. Later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. He held a dinner party and invited some friends so they could meet Jesus. Now, if you're a tax collector, who are your friends? Other people like you. Fellow tax collectors, extortionists, the shady characters, the biker gangs, the social outcasts, the crooks, the misfits, people considered by others to be disreputable sinners. And Matthew invited that crowd into his home to meet Jesus. Isn't that great? As soon as Matthew met Jesus, he wanted his friends to meet Jesus, so he threw a party. What a great model for us. Make friends with Jesus, make friends with people who don't know Jesus, and throw a party and simply introduce your friends to each other. What a great model. Now, back then, sharing a meal together was an act of social intimacy. Thus, no sinner was ever welcome at a righteous man's table. And no righteous man would ever consider eating at a sinner's table. And yet Jesus, the ultimate righteous man, had no such misgivings. Here was Jesus at a dinner party with this crazy-looking cast of sinners. I mean, if someone had taken a photo of him and placed it on Instagram, the religious world would have gone nuts. Look at the people that Jesus is spending time with. This is incredible. It's unbelievable. It's scandalous. And that was exactly what happened. The Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, blew a fuse. Now, they weren't at the meal. The religious leaders, the Pharisees, would never go to a party like that. They would never enter a tax collector's home. And they didn't think Jesus should either. As far as they were concerned, Jesus was in the wrong place with the wrong people. And so when the party finally broke up and Jesus and his disciples were coming out of the home, the Pharisees confronted Jesus' disciples in verse 11 and said this. They asked this question to the disciples. They said, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" They weren't really asking a question. It was really a rhetorical question. It was an accusatory statement. The Pharisees were not asking for information. They were simply criticizing Jesus. Pharisees were strict separatists. They prided themselves on adhering to their religious rules. And they separated themselves from anyone who didn't abide by their religious rules. They never go near the people that Jesus was having dinner with. Can't you just imagine the Pharisees together and they're standing there and they're talking? Apparently, the way those people act is okay with Jesus. Doesn't he realize that steak he's eating was bought with extorted money from the poor? Doesn't he understand that God is pleased with a holy life, which happens when we separate ourselves from unholy sinners? Can't you just hear them saying that? But here's the thing. We can be like the Pharisees. We can look at other people and say, "I'm not going to hang out with those people. Those people are dirty. Those people are addicted. Those people are not my kind of people." Or we can look at other people and say, "He or she shouldn't be hanging out with those people. Why is she hanging out with those people? Those are not people she should be hanging out with." Let me just say this. Be aware of anyone who wants you to be holier than Jesus. There was no one holier than Jesus. But sometimes religious people want us to try to be holier than Jesus. And what that really means is they want us to conform to their religious rules. And when we don't, they see us with the eyes of a judge. I believe that Jesus wants us to hang out with people. I believe that Jesus wants us to engage people that other people maybe think we shouldn't engage. The Pharisees asked Jesus' disciples a question, but Jesus overheard the question and he answered it. Look at verse 12. On hearing this, Jesus said, "It's not healthy. It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call the righteous, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Notice the three-part answer there. First, Jesus focuses on health. Jesus agreed. He was in the company of sick people. He basically says, "Yep, you're right. These people are sick and have a whole lot of sin in their lives. And you know what sick people need? A doctor." If you looked at a doctor and he was surrounded by sick people, you wouldn't say, "What a terrible doctor." You would say, "What a good doctor." Because he's doing or she's doing what doctors do. And that's hang out with sick people to make them better. And just like a doctor must be around the sick in order to bring healing, Jesus, the great physician, had to go out among sinners to bring the healing that only he can bring. Only Jesus can bring forgiveness and heal souls and transform lives and give the gift of eternal life. And I would suggest to you that today, Jesus wants to work through us to touch other people's lives, which means we need to be engaging the people Jesus wants to touch. Let me say that again. Today, Jesus wants to work through us to touch other people's lives, which means we need to be engaging the people that Jesus wants to touch. The second part of Jesus' response is in the beginning of verse 13. Here Jesus focuses on mercy. He says, but go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Here Jesus is quoting an Old Testament verse, Hosea 6:6. And what he's really doing is giving the Pharisees, the religious leaders, a homework assignment. He says, go learn the meaning of what God said when he declared through his prophet Hosea, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. In the days of Hosea, about 100 years before the time of Jesus, people were heavy on religious tradition, but they were short on mercy. They went to the temple. They offered all kinds of sacrifices. They correctly practiced religious rituals. They were into religion. But they were not showing mercy to the people around them, especially the poor and the oppressed. And so God said to them, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. God would rather people show mercy and compassion than perform religious rituals. Now, Hosea was not saying that sacrifice didn't matter to God. What he was saying is this: as important as sacrifices are, there's something even more pleasing, more important to God, and that is showing mercy to others. Do we really believe that? If you're a follower of Jesus, do you really believe that? I often think that we think what God thinks is most important is coming to church when we used to be able to come to church, or doing our quiet time every day, or being part of a small group. And while all of those things are important, and they're important to God, God would say there's something even more pleasing and more important, and that's showing mercy and compassion to others, especially the poor and the oppressed. Listen, Jesus wants us to step out of our comfort zones and show mercy to the people he showed mercy to. He wants us to go to the dinner parties that he went to. He doesn't want us to be so busy with religious activity that we have no time to show mercy to people who desperately need to experience God's mercy and compassion in their lives. But how do we do this? How do we actually show mercy to others today? Let me give you two first steps. First is this: we need to ask God to give us eyes of a doctor, not a judge. We need to ask God to give us the eyes of a doctor, not a judge. As I've already said, in life, we can have the eyes of a judge or we can have the eyes of a doctor. And the truth is, too many Christian people in North America today go through their days with the eyes of a judge, not the eyes of a doctor. We become too much like the Pharisees. We need to become more like Jesus. When we have the eyes of the judge, we look down on people. We have a critical attitude towards people. We have a critical spirit in our lives. But when we have the eyes of a doctor, we see the hurts that God wants to heal. the alienation, the brokenness, the sadness, the fear, the bitterness, the loneliness, the vulnerability. When you have the eyes of a doctor and not a judge, you see the hurts that God wants to heal. Let me ask you, as you journeyed through this past week, did you see people through the eyes of a judge or the eyes of a doctor? Tomorrow, a new week really starts. It's Monday. You're going to do whatever you do in this new COVID world. But can I encourage you, as you enter your world tomorrow, before you leave your house, can you ask God, God, as I go through this week, give me the eyes of a doctor, not the eyes of a judge. Here's the second thing. Not only do we need the eyes of a doctor, but we need to step into another's world. Let me ask you today, do you move away from or do you move towards the tax collectors in your life? Do you move away from people who are not like you, or are you willing to step into their world, to talk with them, to laugh with them, to eat with them, to relate with them? What if everybody who follows Jesus and is part of Sanage Baptist Church was willing in this next week to move into another's world with the eyes of a doctor, seeing the hurts that God wants to heal? Being willing to engage and relate. What if we were willing to talk with and laugh with and eat with and relate to the tax collectors in our life? Imagine what God could do through us. And the third part of Jesus' response is at the end of verse 13, he says this, "For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." The Pharisees considered themselves to be righteous and healthy before God. They were so engrossed in their religion that they couldn't see reality. They were so self-righteous, they had no awareness of their needs. They saw needs in others, but they didn't see their own need. They were not willing to accept, because they couldn't see their need, they weren't willing to accept Christ's forgiveness or respond to his teachings. And the truth, if we're honest, is we can all be like the Pharisees. We can all be like the Pharisees. We can see needs in others, but we don't see the needs in our own lives. And yet I would suggest to you that all of us need an encounter with Jesus, the great physician. All of us. Jesus invited Matthew to follow him. Matthew, a tax collector. And Matthew left everything and followed Jesus. And that decision transformed Matthew's life. And here's the good news. Jesus is inviting you to follow him today. How will you respond? He's inviting you to follow him today. How will you respond? Jesus is also calling us to move towards others with compassion and mercy. Are you willing this week to ask God to give you the eyes of a doctor, not a judge? To ask God to give you a compassionate spirit, not a critical spirit? Are you willing this week to look for one person into whose world you can step into? Let me say it this way. Who is a tax collector in your life whose world you can step into a little bit this week? Who you can connect with this week? Because as you do that, God's going to use you and grow you and move in you to touch that other person. This week, let's decide to follow Jesus. This week, let's go into each day with the eyes of a doctor, not a judge. This week, let's be willing to hang out with the people that Jesus hung out with. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this powerful story. You invited the most unlikely people to follow you. And some of those unlikely people are in this room right now. Father, I can't believe that you've called me to follow you and what you've done in my life, and I'm thankful for that. How you've used me, how you've used others in this room to impact the lives of others. And Father, we're grateful and thankful for how you move in our lives. And I just pray that all of us watching would want to follow you, would want to have you work in our lives so you could work through us to touch the most unlikely of people. And I pray for all of us this week, as we go into this week, may we be willing to follow you with open hands and open hearts. May we be willing to have a spirit of compassion, not a spirit of criticism. May we be willing, God, to see people through the eyes of a doctor, not a judge. And as we do those things, may you move in our lives in powerful, powerful ways to grow us and to transform us, and to use us to bring your healing into people's lives. In Jesus' name, amen.